been crying out for hope, for a hero to save us. We long for the supernatural.
But there is only one God who can save the day. So clear the stage, prepare the way, 'cause heaven and earth are singing. Glory, hallelujah, let the whole world sing.
Of our God, the greatness. waves. I don't wanna be afraid. I don't wanna be afraid. And I don't wanna fear the storm just because I hear it roar. I don't wanna fear the storm. I don't wanna fear the storm.
Oh, I use either one of these handhelds for Jackie?
What happened?
Jackie's going to read those scriptures again for us. Bring your Bible here. Come up here. Come on. Somebody's asking me about you today.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Were they wondering if they could give me some money?
No, they was wondering. They was wondering how old you were.
And you told them?
No. Because you're so pretty is what they said. It was that girl that puts me through pain every Monday and Wednesday, you know.
Is this on?
Huh? I turned it on. I pushed the button. Green light's on. Is that the wrong one?
Number 2. Hey, all right, now I'm where I need to be.
Exodus 23:2.
I'll read verse 1 too.
Oh, I can read verse 1. Everybody got it? You got it, Mike? Okay. And so we're going to start with one, because one is just as good. And it says in the King James Version, "Thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thy hand to the wicked to be unrighteous witness. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many, to rest judgment." In the Amplified, it says this: "You shall not repeat or raise a false report. You shall not join with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. You shall not follow a crowd to do evil. Nor shall you bear witness at a trial so as to side with a multitude to pervert justice." In the New American Standard, it says, "You shall not bear a false report. Do not join your hand with the wicked man to be a malicious witness. You shall not follow the masses in doing evil, nor shall you testify in a dispute as to turn aside after a multitude in order to pervert justice." And then lastly, the New International says, "Do not spread false reports. Do not help a wicked man by being a malicious witness. Do not follow the crowd in wrongdoing. When you give testimony in a lawsuit, do not pervert justice by siding with the crowd, and do not show favoritism to a poor man in a lawsuit," which means if he's wrong.
Amen.
Amen.
That's not where we're at now? That is exactly where we're at.
Yeah. What?
You shall not circulate a false report.
For what we're dealing with right now. Amen. A bunch of them. But, you know, the question was, how many Christians are out there doing that? You know, that was my biggest complaint about the march here. Are we just going to be out there spewing anger and hate, you know? what's the agenda? And I think the agenda did get away from them. So anyway, with that said, I have a praise report. For the last 3 weeks, my wife and I have had two igloo coolers in the middle of our kitchen because our refrigerator of 17 years, that's a pretty good run.
Yeah.
17 years.
Yeah.
You know? And the old boy that delivered it, you know, today, the two guys, he said, he asked me, how old's that one? And I said, 17 years. Oh, he said, you'll be lucky to get 10 out of this one. So I praise God for that. I wanted to say this Sunday, you know, we sing this song. I was going to ask Terry to sing it tonight, and I forgot. We sing a song, it's a new song, where it says, God turns graves into gardens and stones into armies. You guys understand that?
Bones
into armies, yeah. So, you know, He turned a grave, the tomb of Joseph Arimathea, where they buried Jesus, was a grave. But if you go there today, it's a garden. You know, if you read, I think it's Ezekiel 36 or 37, talking about the valley of dry bones. He asks Ezekiel, "Oh man of God, can these bones live?" And God tells him, yes, they can live. Not only will they live, but they will be a great army. You know, it's kind of like he just throws that in as a little kicker. So when we sing that song, it just really makes me think about not only the power of God and his ability to make a way where there is no way, but just the fact that he keeps his word. Amen. With God, all things are possible. Amen. So anyway, how many of you have a prayer book, one of our prayer books at home? How many of you have ever used it? Occasionally? Well, there's a, I'm gonna go to it in a minute. I'm going to show you a couple things in this prayer book. Actually, I got like 20 scriptures, and then God unctioned me to find one of these, and I thought that Wilma originally told me she didn't have hers, and then she did. So evidently, God wants me to show you a couple things in there. But I want to read, if you haven't seen the letter from Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano that he wrote to Donald Trump. Now, there were some other Catholic bishops that slammed President Trump for going to visit the shrine of John Paul II, okay? So, but here's what this man writes. Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano wrote a letter to President Trump warning him that the latest crisis rocking the United States are part of an eternal spiritual struggle between the forces of good and evil. I think we'd all agree with that, wouldn't we? Citing President Trump's strong pro-life stance as a sign of good, Archbishop Vigano wrote the prophetic and powerful letter to President, encouraging him to keep the faith. Part of Archbishop, now this is not the whole letter, you'll have to Google it and find the whole letter, this is the highlights. Part of Archbishop Vigano's letter reads, "For the first time the United States has in you a president who courageously defends the right to life, who is not ashamed to denounce the persecution of Christians throughout the world, who speaks of Jesus Christ and the right of citizens to freedom of worship. Your participation, in the March for Life," they're both off. I've got this over here, and I think he's trying to get more volume out of it. So that's my guess. I can hear me. I'll start again. Part of Archbishop Vigano's letter reads, "For the first time, the United States has in you a president who courageously defends the right to life, who is not ashamed to denounce the persecution of Christians throughout the world, who speaks of Jesus Christ and the right of citizens to freedom of worship. Your participation in the March for Life, and more recently, your proclamation of the month of April as National Child Abuse Prevention Month, are actions that confirm which side you wish to fight on. Yeah. Vigano explained within the letter that he believes both of us are on the same side in this battle, albeit with different weapons. As he set his sights on the liberal media for disparaging the president's visit last week to a D.C. shrine honoring Pope John Paul II. For this reason, I believe that the attack to which you were subjugated after your visit to the National Shrine of St. John Paul II is part of the orchestrated media narrative which seeks not to fight racism and bring social order, but to aggravate dispositions, not to bring justice, but to legitimize violence and crime, not to serve the truth, but to favor one political faction, the Archbishop declared. You can read his full letter if you Google it. I'll help you spell his name. It's Carlo, C-A-R-L-O, Maria, M-A-R-I-A, Vigano is V-I-G-A-N-O. But I what caught my eye was the fact that he called out what's going on in our nation is a battle against good and evil. It really is. I didn't get to read what he wrote, but Glenn Beck said, now remember, Glenn Beck was an anti-Trumper.
Was he?
Yes. At the beginning, during the primary, uh-huh, leading up to the election. Yeah. You're in good company with Glenn Beck. He was anti-Trump. And what I seen today, and I didn't get to read it, just got read the headline. Glenn Beck said, if Trump doesn't win this election, America as we know it is over. Okay, so now, with that said, because that was such a negative, you know, I want to give you a positive. It has nothing to do with my message, you know, or what we're going to study here, but it's in the Bible, so it's got to be good, right? Go to, I think it's Zechariah 14. This just popped into my head. Now, my wife, she don't like me to use notes. She said I preach better without notes. I said, well, I don't know about that. I'm getting old and forgetful. You know. I said,
maybe that's what the Lord's waiting on. Maybe he'll just give up to him. He'll just take you where he wants.
Okay. Well, I was looking for that. Now I can't find it. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Anyway, I may have to go look for it later. Here it is. It's in Zechariah 8. Zechariah 8. Zechariah 8, page 1257, got a Bible like mine. Let's read verse 16. These are things you shall do. Speak each man the truth to his neighbor. This Sunday morning, I taught on the importance of truth. We live in this age of disinformation, where truth, you know, one of my favorite shows is The Five on Fox. And they were talking about the coronavirus seems to be spiking up in places like Arizona. And one of them on The Five asked the question, how do we know that's the truth? You know, the information we're getting is from liberal media.
I know. Yeah.
We need to believe, we won't believe.
Right.
Dry wolf, you know what I mean?
Yep. So it goes on to say, verse 16, give judgment in your gates for truth, justice, and peace. Let none of you think evil in your heart against your neighbor. We got a lot of that going on. You know? And do not love a false oath, for all these are things that I hate, says God. So pretty much what we see going on with the looting and the stealing and the violence, God hates. Okay? But now jump down to verse 22. See, there is coming a day. You know, I was working on our second class. I started last week, and I couldn't get it to where I really wanted it to be. So I switched gears. But I want you to look at this scripture because, remember, I'm trying to give you a positive from a negative here. I don't like the church to leave, you know, if they're not on a positive. But in the United States, people ask me, I've been asked several times, where's the U.S. in prophecy, Bible prophecy? Yeah. And I've always said, well, go to Genesis 12, the promise he made to Abraham. I'll bless those who bless you. I'll curse those who curse you. You want to see America in prophecy? If we continue to bless Israel, God's going to continue to bless us. God keeps his promises. But I want you to pay particular attention to this. Let's go down to verse 20. Maybe we'll get some context. It says, thus says the Lord of hosts, people shall yet come, inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us continue to go and pray before Yahweh and seek the Lord of hosts. I myself will go also. Yes. Now watch what it says. Yes. Many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Now watch, verse 23. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 men from every language of the nations shall grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. We're living in that hour right now. You've got churches like ours, men and women who are studying Hebrew, they're studying the Jewish roots. And what is it I always tell you about why we study Jewish roots? Anybody? One student? Please don't. Yeah, but the goal of that is to grow in our knowledge and understanding of God, right? And so he says, last line, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Now, I'll submit to you tonight. I've read this many, many times, but I was talking to my mother about end times. We're in the car. Dad's done, went in the house. You know, we sat in the car for an hour. I talked to my mom, and this hit me. This scripture hit me because she asked me about the U.S. And I said, Mom, you know what? I just thought of this. In Zechariah 8, it says that many peoples and strong nations, doesn't say just nations here, it says strong nations. I said, you know what? I'm going to hold on to that for America. Yeah. I can't prove that's America, but you know what? Right now, America's the strongest nation in the world. It has been for a long, long time.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. And it's our God that makes it strong. All right? So, I wanted to leave you that on that high note. It sure looks like maybe these strong nations will be included. Glory to God.
Amen.
All right, now, with that said, the bishop said in his letter to Trump, this is a battle against good and evil.
Yeah.
So, let's go to that famous scripture you all know found in Ephesians chapter 6. This is a reminder. You know, I looked at all the violence, spitting on policemen, shooting policemen, you know, a shop owner and his wife trying to defend their store and they get beaten to a pulp, you know, all the violence. And it's easy when we see the violence to, yes, I believe those people that commit acts of violence should be arrested. They should do time, all right? But that's not who the battle is against. All right? What?
I'm going to ask them, in that, where they were protecting their stores and stuff, and all that.
Yeah.
What if they were shot a bunch of people that were attacked?
They probably would have went to jail.
If they shot,
they've got to be in your shop, like the guy in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Well, actually, the Torah tells you can't kill somebody for taking your stuff.
Yeah.
Only if they're threatening your life.
That's when you feel threatened by your life.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I would. Yes, I would. But if... I agree. They should be arrested. Yeah. I'm surprised too. But point is, what we see and the people who are doing it is really not who our battle's against. Yes, they should be arrested. Yes, they should do time or you know, go through the system. All right? The guy in Philadelphia, the gun dealer in Philadelphia, they tried to break in his shop. So he tried to fix the door. He figured they'd come back the next night. He was waiting inside. The man came in the door with a gun, pointed it at him, and the store owner shot him. And the Philadelphia police said there'll be no charges. Okay. So he defended. His life was at risk at that point. All right. But now here's the point Paul's trying to tell us, and this is something we need to remember, because it's easy for me to get mad at the left. I hear him lie. I hear him slam Trump. I hear him do all this silly stuff. I see Jared Nadler leaning like the Tower of Pizza, you know. So anyway, it's easy for me to get mad at him, you know. When I see George Soros' picture, I'm like, you know. But that's not who our battle's against. Yes, I got one that'll reach you. Anyway, verse 10. You know this scripture. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles. Wiles is an old English word that means schemes or plans. Wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Yes. Then he says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Now, in our prayer book, at the beginning of this book, okay, how many of you, now Katrina, she preached for me not too long ago, and she preached on the armor of God.
Yeah.
Okay. Did good. I watched you. Yeah. All right. So, in our prayer book that you don't use, okay, Mike does. In the prayer book, right here in page 6, it says, visualize yourself putting on each piece of God's armor. Amen? God's armor. Why? Because the battle's not against the people committing violent acts. It's against the schemes and plans of the devil and his demonic hordes. Now, I used to not believe this, but I believe this now. I believe that devils are fallen angels. Fallen angels had intimate relationships with the daughters of men, and they had offspring that were giants. And when those giants died, their spirits are demons. Okay? That is, I have studied this for how many years now? A long time. More than 20 years. And I just, maybe I just didn't have the courage to man up and say, yep, that's what it says. You know? Because there's so many kooks out there anyway, you know, trying to preach the gospel. I didn't want to be lumped in there. I didn't want to be one of them granola Christians, nut, fruit, and flake. So they got plenty of them, you know. See, probably if I was, we'd have more people in this church. You know, but that's not what we're after. We want to grow in our knowledge and understanding of God. But anyway, here in this book, I'm going to remind you of this. It says, visualize yourself putting on each piece of God's armor. This is important. This is not just words we say. Okay? This is something that can get in our spirit and in our mind. Okay? Because we war against a spiritual enemy. We need spiritual weapons.
Right.
All right? And he says, I put on the truth of God's word as I allow his word and his spirit to guide my attitude, my conduct, my thoughts, and to bridle my tongue as I walk in the spirit and not the flesh. Let me read that one part again because it's kind of hard. To guide my attitude, my conduct, my thoughts. Here's the tough part. And to bridle my tongue. Right, Jackie? That's a tough one. Okay. But I got to visualize myself putting that on every morning. Then the second one says, I put on the breastplate of his righteousness, knowing that God's righteousness speaks of his faithfulness to keep his promises. I don't walk in fear. This is what I told my mom. I said, Mom, I know every time I tell you I'm going overseas or in a strange company or going to Israel, I appreciate the fact that you're in your prayer closet, you know, while I'm going.
Yeah.
But you need to understand something about your oldest son. I'm not afraid to die. If I die, I go to be with Jesus. It's a win-win. Okay? Now, like the songwriter says, everybody wants to go to heaven. Nobody wants to go right now. I'm not going to go play in traffic, you know, or anything like that. Or put a loaded gun up my head and say, God will protect me. No, I'm not going to do something stupid like that. But the point is, I live with the attitude that the worst thing that can happen to me today is not losing my job. It's not having enough money in the checkbook to pay the bills, okay? The worst thing that can happen to me is I die and go to be with Jesus. That's a win-win situation.
Yeah, yeah,
amen?
Yeah.
So I put on his breastplate of righteousness, which speaks of his faithfulness to keep his promises, which allows me to walk through the difficulties of life, trusting fully that my heavenly Father is with me, and because he is faithful, I will walk as a faithful and obedient servant this day.
Amen.
Amen. Then it says, I put on the shoes of peace. I really need to put on more shoes of peace. The peace that comes with knowing God is with me no matter what the circumstances. Now here's the part that I don't like. As I walk in these shoes, I promise to be a peacemaker in every circumstance I find myself in.
Yeah. Amen.
See, it's like I told Amy. When she told me all the stuff was going on, I said, you know, it's probably a good thing your pastor wasn't there. You know? Because I'm going to tell you, what's happening in America right now, they are so blind. We can talk till we're blue in the face. It's going to take God pulling the blinders off. I mean, it is. It's going to take... We need to continue to pray for revival because it's going to take an outpouring. You know, is an outpouring. Anyway, then he says, I put on the helmet of salvation, which is the knowledge of God's delivering power from all my enemies. The helmet of salvation brings great hope and expectation that nothing is impossible with God because he is Melech Ha'olam, King of the universe. And then it goes down the rest of the armor. All right? That's important. But now I want to take you over here. Because in the Amidah prayer, which means standing, okay, the first one is blessing the God of our fathers, Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And then the second one is a blessing to God because he is a God of life, and he keeps tabs with the dead. The third one is the Kedushim, or the sanctifying of God and his holy name. Now, when we get over number four, is I spend a lot of time on number four for you guys and me, because it's about how God graciously endowed man with intelligence. You teach him knowledge and understanding. Grant us knowledge, discernment, and wisdom. Amen. Then where I wanted to get was, here's one, number seven. How many know the coronavirus and shutting down the economy was an affliction? Okay, behold our affliction and deliver us. Redeem us soon for the sake of your name, for you are the mighty Redeemer. Praised are you, Lord, Redeemer of Israel, both Jew and Gentile. Then there's one for healing, and then there's one for blessing. You know, I say that over the church and over our family business, over my own finances. But here's one that I want to call your attention to. Restore our judges as in the days of old.
Oh, yes.
You know, I heard a guy today say that under the Trump administration, they've appointed almost 300 judges now.
Wow.
I knew there were over 200, but that changes a lot. Those are the Court of Appeals. You know, when you take out activists and you put in constitutionalists and God-fearing judges. It says, restore our judges in days of old. Restore our counselors as in former times. Remove from us sorrow and anguish. Reign over us with loving kindness, with justice and mercy. Sustain our cause. Father, give us righteous judges and government leaders. Remove the ungodly ones and replace them with godly, righteous leaders that we may have true justice in our courts again. Praised are you, O Lord, King who loves justice. Amen. So I just want to remind you that because we are in a time of great spiritual warfare, that little book can help you. You don't need it to pray, but that little book can give you some guidance. It helps me because if I don't use it, I'm like a ping pong ball. Boom, 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 boom. You know, when I'm praying. Do what? Been said a lot. Now I Christianized them, you know. I dressed them up a little bit. Well, those prayers probably were prayers that Jesus prayed. Okay, yeah. So they're older than Yeshua. So now here's some good news about being in the battle. Turn with me to 1 John. 1 John. 1 John. I actually think the reason I couldn't get that second class done is God wanted me to talk about this. I think I needed a little bit of it myself. So I yielded to God, and I'm going to give you another praise report. We're swamped. Our business is swamped. I need to hire. So I had 4 guys lined up a month ago, and then everything went to pop. Uh-huh. And so I called them all yesterday. You know, and when a guy ain't, he's not working, you know, nobody called me back. Well, actually, two guys I called, what was yesterday, Tuesday? 2 guys I called on Monday. And then I called 4 of them, 2 of them back, 4 of them yesterday. Got nothing. So I tell my brother on the phone coming down here, I said, man, I'm trying to hire. I can't. I said, I think they're all drawing up big unemployment.
Unemployment.
You know? Yeah. And he said, well, he said, he Gord's always, I mean, when you own your own business and things are tense and you got that many people depending on you for their livelihood, you pray more.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure.
You pray more, yeah. So, you know, he's like, well, God will find us some, you know. So I pulled in over here, 2 of them called me.
All right.
So, can't beat that.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't beat that. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, now, we're going to 1 John chapter 4. Let's just start in verse 1. Now, remember, we are in a conflict. We are in a battle, right? How many of you know that in a conflict or a battle, the loser don't get squat? Right? Only the winners. Now, today they give trophies to everybody.
Yeah, that ain't right.
But back when me and Mike played T-ball, you know, they only give it to the winners. Now we got snowballs. Remember the snowball place up there? We got snowballs after every game, you know. But you never get a trophy unless you won. I didn't win my first trophy until what grade was that? We was about like 11 or 12 year olds. Played for Schulteis Insurance, and we won the league, and I got a trophy. I've probably told you this 100 times, but I didn't know that little guy was plastic covered in gold. I shined him.
No.
Oh, I shined him a lot. Pretty soon he went bald on top. His head was as white as Charles David's on top, you know. But the point is, you're in a conflict. You're in a battle. We want to win. Amen? If you don't want to win, you know I'm in church, dude. Okay. We want to win. Right? So let's pick it up here in 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now let me stop right here for a minute. You got Christians that support abortion. Christians who support full-term abortion. Okay? You have Christians who believe that, or they, when I say Christian, I use the term loosely. They say they're Christian, all right? They say they're Christians, but they support terrorist groups against Israel. Okay? So, remember, it says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Well, first of all, we don't have to go very far in the book of Genesis to find out how God feels about Israel, do we? I'll bless those who bless you, I'll curse those who curse you. See, the Holy Spirit of God is revealing the truth to us. Okay?
Yeah.
Oh, probably do. Probably do. And we don't have to go very far in our Bible to find out that God is a God of life, not death.
Right.
You know, and God says that our children are gifts from God, not babies to be murdered, you know. So, all right, let's keep going. Verse 2. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God.
Amen.
Now, let me say something to you. This is another class I need to finish. It's been a long time since we taught Islam, hasn't it, Terry? We probably need to redo that soon. But I'm working on Islam too, and I stopped. I'm about halfway done with it. But now look what John says. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. All right? Muslims believe he came in the flesh, but he's just a prophet. But he never died. But God's just keeping him hid. Really? Seriously? You know, if he doesn't die, there's no atonement for sin. So we're all lost. Okay? Yeah. As coming to flesh is of God, verse 3, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ is coming to flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. So John, back in the first century, says these Antichrist spirits are already alive and well. Amen? And that means they're still alive and well today. But here's a good one. You are of God. Jackie, Mike, Charles, David, Gene, Wilma, Terry, what the girl that sits up here, clapping, Katrina, you are of God, little children. Now watch, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Sometimes when I'm guilty of this, sometimes I get to looking at the news and my heart gets heavy, you know, but I need to remember that I'm in a battle, I'm in a conflict, and in this conflict, I've already won.
Yes.
Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world.
Yes.
Glory to God. Sometimes we just need to go to the book and remind ourselves, encourage ourselves, pick ourselves up, because when you go out the door, the enemy's going to be there.
Yes.
Now let's look at another one here. And do what? I already won. Look at 1 John 3. 1 John chapter 3. Let's see here. We'll start in verse 1. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Now watch. How many of you believe Jesus came in the flesh?
Amen.
Went to a cross at Calvary. Died. Went into the pit of hell. Preach the gospel. Paraded old Slewfoot around. Just like you would any king that you defeated in ancient times.
Yeah.
And then he took Abraham and everybody that was in paradise back to heaven with him. And now, that's so much better for you and I, because now Paul says to be absent from the body is to be with the Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, let's read on. Behold what man, verse 1, 1 John chapter 3. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. See, all these people running around, carrying on, acting like idiots, they don't know God. They don't know God. Nancy Pelosi can tell me she prays all the time, and I will look her square in the eye and I will tell her, you do not know God. Probably. Verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in himself purifies himself just as he is pure. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he, Jesus, is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this, now watch, for this purpose, this is the part I was looking for. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Amen. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. So the reason, one of the reasons Jesus was manifested was to destroy the works of Satan. And what was his biggest accomplishment? Death. Death was his biggest accomplishment. When Adam and Eve sinned, death entered. Because the wages of sin is death. Amen. But Jesus overcome death, hell, and the grave. Glory to God. Let me look at, I got a whole bunch of them here, but let me pick, where do I want to go? Let's go to Romans. We'll close with this one. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, let's go to verse 27. Page 1563, you got Bible Lock. Verse 27. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now how does he do that? Through praying in the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to preach on that Sunday morning. I really wanted to stay political, but I need to do that because we need to. It was a two-parter. We started last week. We'll get in depth this week. 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. See, there's a qualifier. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that we might be the firstborn among many brethren. So what was God's predetermined purpose for our lives? To be made into the image of Jesus. To imitate our rabbi, our teacher. Amen. Verse 30. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. We are seated spiritually at the right hand of God. Not only did he justify us through Jesus, he cleansed our sins, he glorified us by placing us spiritually in Messiah, seated at the right hand of God. Ah! You really want to do battle with me, devil? I mean, really? You don't know my backup. You know? Verse 31. This is the last verse. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, Who can be against us? Amen. Our country looks like it's headed down the fast track to destruction. Amen. But I believe God's going to do something.
Yes.
But you know what? God's people got to strap on the armor. Got to know who they are. We are children of God. Got to know that we've been forgiven and been glorified. We're seated at the right hand of power. Amen.
Amen.
And that because Jesus has overcome, we are overcomers.
Yes.
His whole reason for manifesting was to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. Anybody got something to add?
I do.
What?
There's a prophet, and he said that his name's Mark Taylor. I don't know if y'all ever...
Mark Taylor, yeah, the fireman.
Yes.
He wrote the book, The Trump Prophecies.
Yeah, I got that book.
Yeah, I read that book.
He said a few days ago, or maybe it was a month ago, anyhow, it was on YouTube, that Trump gets a second...
Yeah, I seen that.
I seen that. I was real happy about that. And the other thing that really turned my stomach...
We need to still pray for him.
Yes, and vote for him.
Now, I did see something today. I didn't get it added all up.
What?
But in West Virginia, they had a primary, and they had three or four Democrats.
Yeah.
And then they had three or four Republicans. It sure looked like the Republican voters turnout added up to a lot more than the Democrats.
Well, that's hope.
That's hope. That's a little hope.
Yes.
Did I interrupt you?
No. I was just going to say the other thing that kind of turned my stomach. I was watching on TV today where this guy and a group of them had come against the abortion, Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
And they have a lawsuit against Planned Parenthood. And somehow Planned Parenthood won. So now they're going, do some more.
Appeal.
It was an appeal. But one of the things that he said that just broke my heart, they take these body parts from the babies and they allow, like if these people send a list of what they want, two legs, an arm, a brain, an